Welcome, welcome. Welcome back. This is the Who Am I Pod. We are your host, King CJ, Kevin Ren. King, how you doing, man?
Chilling, chilling, man. Just had some good mama's cooking, like Kwame Brown said.
Man.
Doing good.
Big Soldier was the first person to have mama's cooking, so.
Hey, listen, bro. If you ever think you started something, you best check in with Big Soldier.
Man, stop playing with me, boy. I'm the first nigga to do all type of shit. That is the funniest click on TikTok right now. That is the funniest clip, dog. The first nigga to do all type of shit.
Hey, Soldier Boy low key just started a lot of trends.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he get the respect he deserved because he goofy, but yeah. Soldier Boy definitely is at the forefront a lot.
Oh yeah, without question. Without question. He was the first man on the move. I mean,
shit, legend has it. You know what I'm saying? First man to walk on water.
Nah, yeah, Soulja Boy cool, bro. They when do him and Bow Wow face off?
Bro, I'm not tracking.
I ain't watched one in a minute, honestly. I can't remember the last time I won. I've been wanting Lil Wayne so long, they ain't matched him up with nobody, so.
I don't know who could go. Future would be a good one. Lil Wayne Future.
It'd be interesting, but it's a wash.
Hey, bro, Future got hits, dog.
It's a wash.
Lil Wayne ain't got no tell Steve Harvey I don't want no lines.
You know, all right, let's go ahead and get it.
I'm gonna call it. Yo, your dad on Family Feud, bro. I don't want your daughter.
Let's get into this music, bro. So I got a bunch of singles. King got a few albums, so we'll kind of just mix and match like that. My first single is Late at Night, Roddy Ricch. I don't know if it's an expectation thing, like we've been saying for the past few weeks now, but I'm not really feeling it. And the problem with me is that when he's so good, because he is, right? Like, Roddy Ricch, his sound is kind of unique compared to all the others. He came out with some hits. He got a great album. He can rap a little bit. He can give you the vocals type shit. I don't know if he needs an album right now, but a great single wouldn't hurt. You know what I mean? And this is just one. Just it really isn't it for me. So I'd probably give it about a 6. Nothing too crazy, but that's just me.
Yeah, like you said, when you haven't dropped the album, like his last album was what, the end of 2019, going into 2020, and it was like spectacular. And when you don't drop, you know, a big project or a large body of work, he was relevant. He's been around here and there, but you don't drop like a standalone track for a long time. Kind of like we were talking about with J. Cole, it builds that anticipation. And it's like, all right, the expectation starts to rise. Like, all right, you must be working. So it better be good. And when you drop off something that's cool, it doesn't like justify. Like, you could have dropped this last year. You could have dropped this anytime. Like, this isn't nothing crazy. Because there's so many people doing what he does at a higher level, it seems.
Yeah.
But he's super talented, though. I still think.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doubting his potential going forward. I just think that, God, you're on stardom. You're on the path to stardom. You can't don't go out like Chance. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of where I can see that facts. Going. Don't go out like Chance. That's all I can say.
Facts. He fell off that freak hard.
Chances. He kind of butt.
I literally don't care about
he kind of. I don't even remember the last time I enjoyed a Chance song.
Last song I heard, I think DJ Ferris or DJ Spin put out a album, and he was rapping about like shooting guns. I was like, what, bro, Chance? What? Who is this? Like, who is this guy?
Have a good day.
I thought you was with Jesus.
Enjoy love. enjoy love.
Yeah. All right. Now I get into some albums. We can go back and forth. Just because it's been a while since our last episode, it's a lot of music dropped. I'll go with Benny the Butcher and 38 Spes with Trust the Sopranos. Dope album, dope compilation. I've been highlighting Benny. I've been highlighting 38 Special on this show for years. Just, I love that gritty Griselda sound. And it just shows you the work ethic. Like, this is Benny's second project. You know, it is a like a co-featured project, but we'll talk about another one here in a little bit. This is just the best of both worlds of that lane. You got 38 Spesh, who not only raps, but produces as well. And he's a good curator of talent, so much though that he'll put out 4 or 5 albums a year. And some of those albums he won't even rap on. He'll just produce the songs and just get people of that sound together. So I think that 38 Spesh was able to flex that ability. And Benny just came in exactly what he was going to do, just give you bars after bars after bars. They did a good job of highlighting both of their brands, because Trust is 38 Special Squad, like Trust, I think it's Trust Gang, I want to say. And then Black Soprano Family is Benny the Butcher. So it wasn't just a Benny and 38 Special, it was like both they squads came together to produce this project, and they did a good job highlighting their talent, highlighting themselves, and just overall bringing both the brands together and just staking that flag, you know what I mean, to just keep that momentum going for that Griselda sound.
Like that. They don't stop. You're going to hear from them a little bit later on our list as well. My next single is Rookie of the Year, Moneybagg Yo. It's been disappointing for Moneybagg Yo. I don't dislike this track. I just think that maybe coming off the past, because I think he's released 2 albums this year, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe an album, EP, something. It's been quite a bit of music for Moneybagg Yo, and it's kind of been disappointing. I remember the first album had, you know, a bunch of songs, and you know how I feel about that already, so I don't have to speak on that. But it's just something ain't there. And Keith said this best. I don't remember if we was talking about this artist in particular, but when they be in love, bro, shit don't be hitting the same, bro. Like when they be in relationships, Shit just don't really be hitting the same. And I'm not wishing that, you know, bad about this relationship. I actually like him and Ari, but I don't know if that makes you lazy. I know how I feel sometimes when I have a girl. It does sometimes make you feel a little bit complacent. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe that's just the male, you know, psychology just kind of coming into play there. But it's been a little bit disappointing, and it's been a little bit hit or miss for Moneybagg Yo. I do like this one. It's not great, it's not bad, but it could be a lot better knowing Moneybagg Yo. So that's Moneybagg Yo, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it's he hasn't been living up to his expectations. Like he came out super crazy. He had a lane, but like you said, like once he got in a relationship, I just don't feel like he has that same edge about him, where I feel like newer artists, even in his own camp, have kind of taken his lane. And I'm really, really transitioned from Moneybagg Yo to ESTG. So it's cool, but and I wish him nothing but success. But I think he's kind of hit that point where I think he has to make a decision where he can't be the trapper no more. That's not his image. That's not his lane. Mm-hmm. But he kind of wants to cross over. He just hasn't found his stride yet in that lane.
That's fair. That's your band. Right.
That's my dog. I'm ride with him, but you know. We got expiration dates over here, dog.
And I'm gonna stick beside him.
I love my favorite rapper. I never let him go. My next album is Maytay with Habits. I think this is just a dope, incredible R&B track, or R&B album, excuse me. 7 songs, 23 minutes. It is released through Roc Nation, so it's a bunch of dope features on there. You have Buddy on there. I think it's Levin. It's cut. The name is cut off, but dope projects. K Trinata is a producer on there with the song with Buddy. It's just a dope project. And with R&B, again, I mentioned this last year. I guess I mentioned it every year we talk about R&B. It's just dope to hear the raw emotion and the honesty, to where like I often find myself listening more to rappers' interviews than I listen to their music, just because I want to hear something real. I want to see what type of person they are. But when I'm listening to R&B, I can really get a feel of the type of person that individual is, because they're like just singing is just such a pure raw emotion, to the point where she got songs on there talking about being toxic. She got songs on there talking about, she got a song on there called Bitch Don't Be Mad. Like, basically, I'm getting over you. So when you see me glow up, when you see me level up, don't be mad. You don't got that right no more to come at me and, you know, check me about that. So it's just dope to see R&B just flourishing right now. Like I said before, like I say every week, if you don't have anything to do, if you don't have anything to listen to, you feel like it's a slow week, I guarantee if you go into that R&B section and just check out a new artist, you're going to find some gold. And this Maytay project is just that. So it's an incredible R&B project. Again, 7 songs, 23 minutes, good features, overall great album.
Nice. That's one I'm about to add to the list right now. Got a couple albums that I need to listen to, so I'm never mad at that. My next one is Flamers Flow, Meek Mill. 2-minute song, very, very short, kind of just him. It is what it is, just more like a freestyle than anything. The video is good to see. It got Bobby Smurda in it. But my question, this really ain't a question for Meek. It's just like, where's the music, Bobby? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to, you know, I know you've been in prison, so who am I to tell you how to live your life when you get out? But don't you want to kind of seize the moment? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's been a bit, man. It's just been a bit. So that's just my question for Bobby Smurda on the side. As far as for Meek Mill, where does Meek Mill go from here? Like, where's the path of growth? That's my question, right? Because he's kind of gotten away from all the shenanigans, the media, the dumb shit, the arguing with people he shouldn't be arguing with, the stupid lines that we don't want to hear no more. It seems like he's gotten away from that. But his music sounds still similar to me. Like, all his songs kind of sound similar if you go back. Like, there's a growth from Championships, right? I'm pretty sure that's the album when he got out. There's growth on that album, right? But from that point on, where does he go from here, right? And this is more of a question for you because I know you're a big Meek Mill fan. So where does Meek Mill go from here in order to become what? Because, I mean, he's probably somewhere around the 20 to 15 range maybe of best rappers. Is there a way for him to get to that 15 to 10, maybe even crack that top 10? Like, is that even in the cards anymore, or what do you think?
I think Meek is dealing with an identity crisis. I think at this stage of his career, he's supposed to level up. He's supposed to be a boss. He's supposed to emulate Rick Ross. But I think that he's so hooked on his image as being the street rapper to the point where it seems like he's hanging on the coattails. I'm not going to say it because I'm not trying to sound disrespectful. It seems as if he's wrapped up in the hype of Lil Baby and Lil Durk. And he sees that, oh, they're the street rappers. So I got to do what they do. I have to, you know, certify myself in that lane. I got to, you know, position myself to be the OG because I've been around before them and they in a light that I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be the street rapper, not them. So I think that he's kind of suffering with the pressure that I believe he puts on himself of trying to be the street dude, where I believe he should be the boss. But I don't think he has elevated to that point in his mindset or in his career to where he can start to put people in position and take a step back and not be the center of attention and kind of earn that boss title and earn that boss label. Because we see people doing it like Yo Gotti. Yo Gotti was a street dude. He came out and now he just, you know, made some big moves that I'll talk about here in a little bit later. But Yo Gotti's putting people in position. Yo Gotti comes out when he needs to, drops a hit, keeps himself relevant, drops an album, but then you see 42 Dub. Then you see ESTG. Then you see Moneybagg Yo. And then you see him in the background pushing them and making sure they're successful. Meek hasn't really shown his ability to do such with his artists or people that he endorses. He just is kind of like, I'm the street dude. And I think at some point he has to elevate past that.
Yeah, and it just shows in his music. It just doesn't really, like, this freestyle sounds like one of those freestyles I heard on the 4-pack that came out not too long ago. Like, it kind of blending together right now, which is, it's a problem that every artist kind of goes through. I mean, we've been talking about this with DaBaby for forever, you know what I mean? So it's his whole career. So it's not, you know, it's not a problem for everybody. It's just a problem that I see when I listen to so many different artists, especially when you talk about somebody like Lil Baby that's supposed to be the street dude too, who clearly feels like the street dude, but raps at I don't want to disrespect me, but rapping at a higher level at this moment. Let's just say that. So when I see that, it just makes me feel like, Meek, ain't this kind of where you supposed to be right now? Like, how did somebody surpass you with way less time in the game? You know what I mean? So just a thought.
Yeah. And I think that's what's going through his mind as well. You know? And I think that, again, as a boss, you got to understand Like Jay-Z said it best, like you only get a certain time in that white light to where you're the new, you're the hot thing. You only get a certain amount of time. And once your time is done, you don't get to go back to that. So your job is to maximize that time as in the white light, but then also base your trajectory so that you don't just fall off and that you can kind of just like parachute and just fall like land gracefully. And not, we've seen Meek land not so gracefully, get back into the white line for the wrong reasons, you know. So again, hopefully he finds out a way to navigate it. Apparently or allegedly he's going through something with Rick Ross where they now don't speak a term. So hopefully they can get back together and he can, you know, tell him how to boss up in the future.
Yeah. Shout out to Philly, man.
All right, watch him off. I know that was a shot of that. No, my dog out here struggling.
That was love. That was love. Oh shit! I don't want no smoke either.
I'm gonna just get into it. So the next album is Lil Baby and Lil Durk. Since I just mentioned Meek following in their footsteps, they dropped the project, The Voice of the Heroes. Loaded album, 18 songs an hour, but they got some crazy features on here. They got Young Thug, they got Rod Wave, they got Meek Mill, they got Travis Scott. Crazy production on there. And I feel like this is one where it didn't disappoint. Where I was super excited for like the Quavo, Travis Scott project. And when I heard it, I was like disgusted. Like I hated it. Mm-hmm. To the certain collabs, like certain future collabs I heard and it was like, oh, this is okay. But I felt like this one, for some reason, because Baby is just, or Lil Baby is in like in his prime right now, I want to say, or entering his prime, whereas he just can't miss. And Lil Durk is, might not be the most lyrical, but he is one of the hottest artists to where, so everything he's doing is creating a wave and everything he's doing, I'm in tune with and I'm checking for it. And I feel like this is what a collaboration album is supposed to do, where Lil Baby brought out the best of Lil Durk and Lil Durk brought out the best in Lil Baby. And what I mean is I feel like Lil Durk knows how to really make a good song. Like he really knows how to make a good song. It's the reason why he earned that nickname, The Voice. And they say it on a bunch of the tracks, like Durk is the voice because he knows exactly what to say, you know? And they said it on, I believe the Travis Scott song, Baby the Voice because he know what to say. Durk is the voice because he know what to say. Baby the hero because he come through and say today. But Lil Baby gonna come through and actually give you bars to the point where if you got 18 songs and Lil Durk is on a track getting washed, it's gonna look bad for him. So Lil Durk really had to reach in his bag on a lot of these songs to really pull out the lyrics to the point where I haven't heard him rapping like this since the early like days when he came out with Chief Keef, Lil Reese, and that whole Chicago drill scene was really being put on the map. Like Durk was really on here snapping. And you could see it when he got on the track with Meek Mill, which I think that is one of his, if not the best Lil Durk verse on there. He was just going crazy, talking about that street stuff, talking about his ops in Chicago, talking about his ops, you know, the person that killed King Von is still looking for him, hunting him down, and his beef with FBG Duck and how that whole situation played out. And it's like, you really think it's like, yo, Durk really out here. Like he has publicized, like he's really putting this work. And the same thing with Baby. Like, they really have that credibility. And now to see them bring that and to put that on the world where they're making great music, I feel like this is just the best case scenario for this type of album. So it's good. It just came out, so I need a little bit of time to digest it. But my initial thoughts that this is a pretty good album. And I'm glad that each other came together and make the other one better.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one that I'm really excited for. I haven't heard it yet. I'm still, like I said, I just need a little bit more time to listen to that one. But this is one of the ones that I'm really excited for, especially like Baby really can't miss. Durk has been on every feature kind of snapping just all year and even into the last year. So it's a recipe for success to me. But then again, like I said, these kind of combination albums just haven't really been hitting it like that. Pretty much since What a Time to Be Alive. I mean, anyone after that kind of was kind of disappointing. I can't think of one that was amazing. I'm trying to think of one. Yeah, I don't think there is one. Do you know one?
That was like
collab album.
Since then, you know, Kanye, Kid Cudi, Kid C Ghost. You know what I mean? That was a certified classic.
Moving on to my next single. I got moving on to my next single. So I got Drop, Yo Gotti featuring DaBaby. Like we just talked about Yo Gotti, and I don't know why or when, but I'm just a really big fan of Yo Gotti. Like, sincerely, like, I just like his career. Like, it just, everything just seems so authentic. Everything's just so real. Like, and he comes in and out, drops him a hit, keeps it pushing. Like you said, drop him a little album, keep it pushing. It's never any real controversy surrounding Yo Gotti. It's never too much being said. Whenever he has interviews, he's dropping gems. He just gives me an OG feel, like a feel that of someone that you want to be around, someone that you want to like take some jewels from. This one ain't it. Let me just say that this is not the hit that I was expecting, which is fine. But it is pretty good. It's still a pretty good song. Might be something I might throw in rotation while I'm on a jog or in the gym or something like that. So it is still a pretty good song, but I just want to start by saying, you know, I really enjoy Yo Gotti. I don't take anything away from for this single. It's just one song. And I think that he knows how to find that hit, and it will be coming soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, like I forgot. I think it was the Breakfast Club where a couple years back before Moneybagg Yo really blew up. I think this was when a black youngster had like one of his first hits, and he was just saying, I got the formula. Like, I know what it takes, man. Every year, it seems like I come through and I got a hit, bro. Like, and you think back, and it's like, damn, Gotti always find a way to keep his name in the mix. And he always finds a way to get a hit. And every song isn't going to hit. You know what I mean? Everybody's not Drake. But to see him, like, I remember Gotti back in high school with, like, Five Star Chick. Like, going back to, like, those days. And long being time. Able to survive and still be relevant in a time like this and elevate, that's a lot to be celebrated. So, again, this ain't it, but I respect the effort. I feel like this is going to do something, just him, DaBaby. I saw the promo video with DaBaby, like a girl was walking through. She was like, you already know what the fuck going on. And DaBaby was like, I don't even know what she talking about. I just kicked that ass off set. Like, I don't know what she did. Like, even that had me dying, like had me laughing. So it's like, I might not like this song, but just because of that clip, I want to watch the video just to see how it turned out. Just because, again, like you said, I respect Gotti and what he does, and I'm a fan of DaBaby. So shout out to them for that. It's not my favorite record, but it's a good effort nonetheless. Mm-hmm. So my last album is Lloyd Banks, The Course of the Inevitable. And this is kind of like an old school Conway album, like some of the older Conway albums. So whereas though, you really have to shift your hearing. You can't just throw this on and play this in the background. This is an old school, I'm listening to an album. You really have to get indulged in it, or else some of the sounds might turn you off, or some of the, you know, the music and the chords and the instruments might turn you off because it is very much classic boom bap. I don't think that he really teamed up with Griselda as much as I thought he would, just because of how wide open they bust open that lane, but he did kind of borrow from it a little bit. He had features on there. He had Styles P. He had Benny the Butcher. He got Rock Marcy. He had Ransom on there. I believe he had Freddie Gibbs, but he isn't listed on the track list. But Sa'Ari the Kid. He had a lot of good features, and he had a lot of people that are in this lane currently. It's just some of the music was a little bit kind of like not necessarily hard to listen to, but it was different. And again, like old school Conway, if you put that on, like that's going to change your mood instantly. So I kind of have been tuned, or I have been like trained to listen to that type of music. But when it comes to bars, Lloyd Banks is one of the best. Like just his schemes, his rhyme flow, just his patterns, his punchlines. Like he was or still is known as the punchline king. But when it comes to bars, it's just incredible. And I think one of the biggest knocks of his career was that people didn't really know him. Like he was just he would come out with the single. He had his Beamer Benz and Bentley. He had the, you know, the So Fire. He had the G-Unit songs, but nobody really knew who Lloyd Banks was. And I feel like with this project, he really opened up about some personal things, opened up about losing his family members, losing his grandma. I think that was really traumatic for him. Losing his dad, I want to say, he mentioned on there a couple of times, and then really having to deal with that on top of raising a kid, on top of, you know, dealing with the pressures of society, on top of dealing with like the breakup of G-Unit and how they were once, you know, real close. And then he thought that these people were his mans and now they switched up on him. And he was talking about like, I can deal with enemies switching up, but it's kind of difficult to deal with when your friends switch up on you. And we've seen that play out on many occasions here recently. So to see him actually speak on that type of thing, it kind of humanizes Lloyd Banks, whereas though he used to just be, you know, a punchline rapper. Now it's like I'm kind of feeling like I'm learning about Lloyd Banks, the man. And I feel like that's a dope step in his career for Lloyd Banks. So shout out to Lloyd Banks. 18 songs, hour, 8 minutes. So it's a pretty lengthy album. But if you like that type of music, you know, something you want to listen to a little bit at a time, it's a dope project.
Hell yeah. Shit, it's seems to be heating up just a bit. So we'll find out at what the later half is. I actually really appreciate the first half, the first 6 months of the year, or the first five, I should say. But we are pretty much almost at the halfway point of this year, so we're gonna go ahead and give you our top five albums of the year so far. There is no real dynamic or way that we're gonna do this. If it's R&B, we're going to put it up there. If it's hip hop, it's going to be up there. Should I know King been with some white people lately. So if it's some rock, you know what I mean? Go ahead and put that on there. But we're going to play the country out. we're just going to put what we think is the top five best projects of this year so far. So I'm going to go ahead and start here. Now, this fifth spot was kind of crazy for me. I'll put it like this. It's not that I don't like this album, because I really did. It's just that as we progress, this will be the first one to go. And that's why it's at five. And it's just a tier above some of the other albums that came out, but it's not that high up for me. And that's Tory Lanez with Playboy. Good R&B album. I mean, there's really nothing. We know Tory Lanez got, you know, amazing talent, right? The songs are amazing. The production is amazing. There's songs on here that has really stuck into my playlist on this album, especially the Servant Anthem. I can't really deny it. Like, as much as I know you have some issues with it coming out, and as it aged, I actually been hearing that a lot more, and it just kind of, it does turn me off. Like, I don't know if it's because you said it, but ever since that point, as I listened to him, there's some problems that I have with some of the lyrics. But it sounds good. But, you know, like, you know, it sounds good. But so, like, the music is good. So I got to put that as my five right here for the top five to start it off. And that's, again, Playboy by Tory Lanez.
Yeah. I would have put him in there because... Mm-hmm. I had the initial criticism, like, yo, he's sitting on there. He sounded like a fuckboy. He even called himself a fuckboy. You know what I mean? It's like the first six songs is just about him being jealous of his girl's new man that got more money. But what really got me to fall in love with this album is he did a live performance of it. And he kind of did this last year during the quarantine. But I don't know, just seeing a live performance of an album, I really connect with it more for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I just felt the emotion of it. Like, this album, I really have been listening to a lot lately. Like, I know I had my criticism of it, but I really, really do like that album. Like, that made me go back and listen to his catalog. I've been too harsh on Tory Lanez, bro. Tory Lanez is an incredible artist.
Tory Lanez got a catalog.
He's an incredible artist. Yeah, you know? What do you say? I'm facing 22 years, but I fuck it like I'm fresh out. You know what I mean? He got some charges. You know what I'm saying? He got a couple charges.
We gotta end that. Dog. That case need to be ended, bro. I just want to know. Real, bro.
Bro. I need to know if I can like this music or not. But
bro, come on, dog. He's too good. He's too good, bro.
I can't keep acting like I don't like his music.
Bro.
But yeah, I'm gonna go in the same for my number five. I'm going to I'm gonna stay in the R&B lane. So I'm actually gonna go with Pink Sweats with Pink Planet. I really, really did enjoy this album, and this album really connected with me because Pink Sweats was always a like an R&B singer. He always sung like acoustic R&B, and he always hit like crazy notes, like his Honesty songs, like the notes he were hitting were. It was like borderline annoying. Like, I don't even know if this is good singing and borderline, like, this is like actually fire that somebody would actually attempt to sing like this. But it was always so simple. It was just like him and a guitar just singing all the time. And with Pink Planet, he actually had like a full produced album where he had instrumentation. It had that old school feel. And it wasn't quite the level of an Anderson .Paak. It wasn't quite the level of like The Weeknd, but it offered an aesthetic that I really appreciated. And again, in an age where, or in a day, in a year where you get music and everything kind of sounds the same, I appreciate originality. And I don't think that there was one more original R&B project. There were better R&B projects, but I think for originality with the quality of it, I think Pink Planet by Pink Sweats deserves my number five spot.
I ain't mad at it. Starting out with some R&B heavy because I'm going back to it as well. My number four album of the year is Jasmine Sullivan, Hotels. I think if you listen to the podcast, you would probably guess that this was going to be somewhere on the list. And here it lands at number four for me. I wanted to put it three, but the next album is too crazy. It's just a little bit too crazy. It just got a little bit too many hits and not really hits, but just too much good music for me to put it at four. So I had to put this one at four. But that's not a knock. I mean, there's been plenty of music coming out, plenty of R&B coming out as we, you know, you're hearing right now. And so for Jasmine Sullivan, which I don't know if I've heard an album from her in recent history that I just was amazed by. We know her vocal, you know, capacity. We know what she can do with the throat, but you know, like this hey, shit right
hey,
here.
Hey.
Oh yeah. I didn't mean to disrespect her, but she is on Hotel. So let's
you did it to yourself. So
we know what she can do with it. So, and she tells us about it all on this album. So listen. Jasmine Sullivan can fucking sing, man. And I think it's like you said with the live performance. I heard her Tiny Desk, and I didn't even really like Pick Up Your Feelings. Until I heard the Tiny Desk version of her singing Pick Up Your Feelings, I'm like, okay, this song is another one that's on this album that I'm like, damn. Then you go to the intros and the little interludes, if you would, just between kind of every song. It's just her talking and explaining the next song. Well, explaining the last song and then explain how you get into the next song. And it just really flows together very, very well. It gives you a seasoned R&B soul type of vibe. Like, she knows what to do. She knows how to make an album. She knows how to make things flow correctly because she's been doing it for so long. So it's an amazing, honestly, it's the best female R&B album of the year so far. I'll give her that. It's probably the best R&B album I've heard personally so far this year. It depends on what you think of this one that I got at one or two. I'm still flip-flopping in my head right now. So I'll give her that right now. Again, that's great. And again, it's only 14 songs, 32 minutes. Right up my alley. So that's Jasmine Sullivan, Hotel.
Yeah, so I think we have the same best R&B album, but I'll see.
I don't know where yours gonna be at. I'm flip flopping in my head right now as we go. Yeah. Every time
my
I,
number
every time
two,
I
so
I think I might put mine at one.
So my number four is hip hop, and it's kind of like a technicality because the Deluxe came out in 2021, but the original came out in 2020. But just like we were talking about Lil Durk, The Voice. And again, I really feel like Durk became a star this past year to where I think ever since the trajectory, maybe even the Drake cosign of Laugh Now, Cry Later, it just seems as if Durk has been everywhere and he's really been capitalizing on this newfound momentum. Unfortunately, that came at the cost of King Von, you know what I mean? But even that situation, I believe, elevated his legacy and credibility and all that. And again, he's been through some situations in and out of jail. His credibility is documented of what he's been through, what he's had to stand on, and what he's faced and how he conducted himself. But I really feel like The Voice was especially the deluxe. It really captured his growth as an artist to where I really felt like kind of what I'm saying about Moneybagg Yo. He was really struggling with his street sound and then his auto-tune sound of like to cater to the women. And I really felt like he kind of connected all the dots on this one where he was able to find a balance and he had some, excuse me, super crazy street songs like Finesse Out the Gang with Lil Baby, one of the hardest songs out right now. And, you know, that came out a couple months ago. But then he had the Shit of Duck with Pooh Shiesty when he was dissing, you know, one of his dead ops, like one of the hardest street songs. But then he got songs on there talking about like death ain't easy, really like dealing with his emotions and really talking about losing your friends and family. And then, you know, talk about Kanye crazy. You know, I love anything that references, talks about and praises Kanye, but really analyzing like, yo, this is a legend that came out of my city and I'm really seeing what they doing and I really seeing where he took it. I might not agree with his antics and everything like that, but I still got to acknowledge it. And you got to think like to have that type of perspective when it's not really popular to support or acknowledge this person. Hey, I respect that. So The Voice, the deluxe version by Lil Durk, it really solidified him as one of the top artists right now. And I feel like this album kind of culminated everything that he can do as an artist in the best way possible.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. I do wonder how you're going to fit this in here. So I'm assuming there's going to be your next one. To me, it has to be, and that's Conway the Machine. I cannot say the title for me.
La Machina.
La Machina. Okay, I didn't want to get it wrong. So, I don't see how you couldn't put this somewhere. Honestly, it could be higher. It's just that we know what one and two is right now between me and King. Like we know what one and two is going to be, and those two are undeniable. So for this one, the second best rap album so far this year. There's no faults in that for me. But yeah, it's just, to me, it's the best. I don't want to, this is tough to say. I think it's one of the best from them we've heard in a bit. And that's a lot. That's saying a lot because they've dropped so much, right? Between him, Benny the Butcher, who's also dropped this year, between West Side Gun, between all three of them, I really enjoy this one. I don't know what it is about it. I can't put my finger on. I went back and listened to some old Conway. Not really old, but just, you know, from last year. I went back and listened to some Being a Butcher that I really like, one of his albums. And then I went back and listened to West Side Gun, which was Pray for Paris. I will listen to them all, and Pray for Paris might get this one. But outside of that, this one, right, it's right there with Pray for Paris. And I really enjoy Pray for Paris. So that's saying a lot. I just wanted to say that because that's alone with that type of lyricism between those three. And to say that this one might be the best, I think, you know, maybe a couple years ago I said, you know, I think Benny the Butcher's the best. We had this conversation on the pod. You said it's Conway without a doubt. And it might be because one problem I had with Conway was not for me necessarily. But just as a music fan, Benny the Butcher's music was a little bit more, I can just play it, right? I can just put it on in the background, let it play. It's digestible. It's easier. The bars are easier to catch. Conway feel like something I got to kind of sit, like I got to be, you know, if I'm traveling, Conway might be right. You know, that might be what I want to listen to because I could be vibing, you know what I mean? So this is a great mix of both of that. Right, you got people like 2 Chainz on this album, right? You got people like Ludacris on the album. You got West Side Gun, obviously, on the album. And all that is packed into 11 songs, 41 minutes. Like, I don't know what more you can ask for, honestly. Like, if you're a music fan, if you're a hip-hop fan, if you're really a rap fan, and you really like rap, I don't really know what else you can ask for from an album other than what Conway gave us on this one.
Yeah, I agree completely. And this is my number 3 as well. La Machina. Conway the Machine. I'm gonna go as far as say this is the best Griselda project to me. I believe Pray for Paris is an amazing project, and kind of like what I was saying with 38 Special, I think Westside should be commended for not only his ability as an artist, but his ability to kind of put songs together and put artists together on a song. But I feel like with this, if it wasn't for the number one album, this is a masterclass on how to rap. And for a long time, like you mentioned, Conway's biggest knock was like, bro, it's just too dark. Your songs are just too different. But I feel like this is like the perfect, like this is the essence. Like I thought Benny the Butcher's project with Hit-Boy was it because it was bars with a modern sound, but I feel like I like this better because it's a digestible sound, but it's still Conway. And to put people like JID and Ludacris on the track and snap out, like I think Scatterbrain might be the best single coming out of Griselda. Like I think that was their best like single to where it's like it's commercially successful. And to have him on here, and this is why I really like it, because we just talked about it with Meek, his failure in his career is to boss up and, you know, to have his people, you know, come after him and kind of build that legacy. What does Conway do on my favorite album of his? Half the album is him bossing up and him putting on his artists, to where his first one is like, yo, it's drum work. You know what I'm saying? I started my own label and everybody saying I'm beefing with my brothers, but hey, y'all acting like we supposed to eat with each other on everything that we do. This is my thing now. And like you said, when we first talked about it, the first half of the album is just, I'm letting you know that I got bars and I'm one of the best rappers out here. And then the second one, I'm going to get some features in, but I'm also going to throw my artists in there in the mix so that you know, like, I know how to find talent as well. Westside isn't the only CEO-minded person in this group. And I just feel like this album was just, from top to bottom, like, flawless. Like, it's not a bad song on there for me. Rapping masterclass again, and this is, if it wasn't for the number one, this might have been, or you know, this might have been my top album of the year, and it might be, you know, as time goes on. But I really, really enjoyed this project.
Yeah, I agree completely. So our next two, we know, is the same. I'm just gonna put mine's 1A, 1B, and the reason why is this: I'm looking at it, and why I keep flip flopping is because I'm trying to think. I think initially I enjoyed listening to the one more, but if I had to only listen to one going forward, surprisingly, it'd be the R&B one, I think. I think it's surprisingly, like, I've listened to this so much since it came out, like, and I haven't got tired of it. I can listen to this album all the way through and not be, and wouldn't have a problem with it. That's a big deal, especially for how many songs is on here, which is 13. So I'm going to go with the R&B one first, which is It's Not You, It's Me, Sire, the Kid. I don't know. Funny story about this one. I don't know if y'all heard when this came out. King actually went in and went in on this and said, like, hey, this is the one. Like, this is good. This is, you know, just on like some regular, just a podcast and stuff. So I went and I said, okay, cool. So it didn't take me long. Like, legitimately, the week after on the next pod, you can go back and listen to this. I was like, bro, this the one. Like, I came back and I said, you fucking right. You ain't never fucking lied, dog. Because this shit is hard. As fuck, it's really hard for me to imagine because I don't even like I don't think I've ever really listened to a Sire project like that. Like maybe, you know, songs here and there. He was with the Slumlords for a while. I kind of like some of the songs he had there, some singles that he put out. I went and looked at my actual library, and I do have more than I thought I would of him. So I got quite a bit, but it's different, right? Because he raps sometimes. This time he went full R&B. And honestly, I think that needs to be his lane going forward. I just think it does. I don't have any problem with him rapping, but this was so much better than anything else I've ever heard from him. So much better. And so much better than the next R&B album on this list to me. And that's saying a lot considering, you know, Jasmine Sullivan. It's so good. There's at least out of the 14 or out of the 13, 7 is going crazy every day for me. Like almost 7 is getting played every day for me. That's a lot. That's more than half. I like those percentages. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like those percentages. So for me, I'm putting this 1A, 1B. I don't really think that the next album is better. I can't really say that it's better, but I can't say it's worse either. They're both kind of masterpieces at what they do. And Sire the Kid, again, is just a little bit more. It's a little bit more of the vibe for me, right? Like the next one is like, can I listen to that all the time? Probably not, you know, but there's some in here that I can put into a playlist at a barbecue, a pool party, kickback, you know, something like that, that I can just listen to and play and I can enjoy, right? It's where the other one that I can't really do that. So the pill for this one is a little bit higher for me, except J. Cole, which we know is going to be the number one, is obviously it's a classic. I don't really believe in those. But if it was one to believe in, I think it would be this one. So, again, that's It's Not You, It's Me, Sire the Kid.
Yeah, that's my number two for sure. And like you said, I listen to this album every day. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the type of person, I listen to full albums. Like, I'm still old school. Like, I remember the days of going to, you know, the FYE, going to the booth and like, or going to like the little rack and putting on the headphones and getting like previews of the song to see what you yeah. going buy because you only had like $20. Like, I remember them days. So I still like the nostalgia of like listening to a full album. Like, and when it's a good album, you can listen to the full thing because it's an experience. It is like, I'm really getting into this vibe. And I mean, from the initial like voice message kind of tone to everything that he talks about through it. And again, the honesty, the maturity, the realness, the relatability of everything that he's talking about, the respect for Black women on there and like putting them up there and like the Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week type thing. Like that just, it felt like something that we needed. You know, it's like, I didn't, like you saw the meme, like that's something I didn't know I needed. Like this mm-hmm. album was something I didn't know I need mm-hmm. this album. And it's been a while since we had, like, I think it's probably since Sir, you know, like Lucky Day dropped the project, but like, I think Sir gave me like a classic, but it's mm-hmm. been a while since I've had like a dope, like certified classic male R&B album. I feel like the rest of them, like the women haven't been missing, but like, mm-hmm. I felt like my, like, it's been kind of unbalanced for too long. So it's like, yeah, I need to hear some dudes talk about some real stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I need that side of the story too. And I yep. feel like with this, it just always, like, I can put this up against any R&B album, like you said, and it's just going to blow it out the water. So this is an incredible project. So for my number two, I can see why you could put it as number one, but it's a specific reason why I put my number one over this one. But this is an incredible project. If you haven't listened to it, one of the best of the year. And I don't see, it's going to take a lot for somebody mm-hmm. to top this as far as R&B this year.
Yeah, these are both our one and twos. It's just, they're not going to come down. They might come down on the list, but they're not leaving the top five for the rest of the year. Like, guaranteed. Right. And honestly, maybe 3-2, maybe at Conway too. I don't think that those three are going to change. Only, I mean, I just can't see it. We know Drake is coming out, so he'll probably find his way in there, I'm sure, just because of who he is. If Kendrick come out, then maybe. But outside of that, I don't really see anybody. It would be shocking. It would be an utter upset at that point. So our number one, obviously, the off-season J. Cole. There's no real, you know, duh. Like, what are you thinking? So I don't really know what more to say about this album. We've talked about it at great lengths. I've listened to it at great lengths. And I just continue to like it more as I listen to it. I feel that even though the bars are kind of dumbed down from what we really listen to from J. Cole, at least in my opinion, I still find myself catching little shit that I'm like, damn, that was crazy. Like, ew, I didn't even hear him say that the first time I listened to that. Like, yo, that's crazy. Like, hold on, when he on this one going crazy too. Like, and all that, all those bars, all these Black, Baby, Bass, 21 Savage, all these people, all of this good music is all packaged in a 12-song edible 39 minutes, bro. All of that wonderful music is packaged in that little bit of a time frame. It's so great. Like, I can't tell you enough how much it means to me to hear J. Cole go this route. Cause it'd be like I'm telling you, like, y'all know I'm not playing because y'all know I love short albums. And this is why, bruh. It's so much easier. It's so much easier to deliver a classic when it's like this, when it's delivered to you like this. It's when you stretch this out over 30 songs, you leave a lot of room for error. But when you give it to somebody like 12, you can hit perfect after perfect after perfect after perfect track. And that's what he did. He said, ain't no misses going to be on this one. We going perfect, 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 perfect. The only criticism I have maybe got, I don't really like track 6 that much, 100 mil. It's not that it's bad. It just is a little bit of a step below to me of the other songs on the album. That's a criticism. And if that's a criticism, this 100 mil might be one of the better songs of the year. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying in comparison to the rest of the album, like, 6 is, to me, is a step down from the rest of the songs. But when the ladder is already up here, you take one step down, this is where the rest of the game at. So, like, you still up top, you know what I mean? So, I don't really have anything else bad to say about this album. There's only, I can talk for, you know, an hour about this, but I want to let King go because he gotta go as well. So, I don't think that this one is moving. Again, it's still 1A, 1B for me. I don't have any particular reason to put one above the other. So, I'm going to just leave it as that.
Yeah, it's definitely the best rap album. Like, for every reason that you just explained, I can't state it any better than that. I feel like the reason why it's my number one is because this is a career-defining moment for J. Cole. I feel like when you are on that quote-unquote Mount Rushmore of, like, who is the best right now, you know, every generation has their best, and you need signature moments in your career to define, you know, you as one of the top. For Kendrick, you know, you got the initial classic, you got him working with Dre, you got the control verse, you got the him at the White House with Barack Obama. You have so many things that he did. You had him, like, all his performances going across and then them making him release an album just because they loved all his performances. You got Drake, you got the back-to-back, you know what I mean, just destroying them. Even his beef with Pusha, as, you know, he took the L, but that was a moment in hip-hop. For him, just hit after hit after hit after hit for years in a row, it's like, you can't deny it. For J. Cole, he's been the underdog. We always knew he had the talent. We always knew he was one of the best, but he just didn't have that career-defining moment. He had the classic, 2014 Forest Hills Drive, but Lauryn Hill got a classic too, but she out here just showing up 3 hours late for concert. So it's like, we don't really consider her one of the GOATs. But Cole, we needed career-defining moments. And I feel like when he called out the mumble rappers, when he called out Kanye, it's like, okay, I'm liking this. And, you know, his last one where he's like, yo, I'm one of the GOATs. Like, stop playing with me. It's like, okay. It wasn't, you know, it didn't really make the splash that people really wanted it to make, but it got eyebrows up to him bringing together his team and the Dreamville sessions and him going on a year worth of features and it all culminating with this. I feel like this is like, okay, you could make an argument for J. Cole being the best of this generation. I might not be a strong one, but you could definitely make that argument and I wouldn't call you crazy or something. I wouldn't say that you're wrong for that, because this project from top to bottom is flawless. Like you said, you might not like 100 mil. I personally love 100 mil. I feel like I didn't think J. Cole can take it there musically. So I'm impressed by that. You know, his use of auto-tune, amazing. J. Cole is a boom bap rapper. Like, you know, that's J. Cole. And then his use of auto-tune on this project is like phenomenal. So I feel like this is a career-defining moment for J. Cole. This solidifies him as one of the top three, and it does it. You know, it's not, before he was like, all right, he's number three. He's not touching Kendrick and Drake. Mm. Now he's in the mix. You can make that argument. And I really think that this album solidified that.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually a great point. Yeah, the career-defining, y'all couldn't say it better myself. So that's well said. That's a great point I didn't even think about. So yeah, that's our top five. I mean, we kind of had somewhat of the same. I'll just go ahead over mine real quick. Again, mine was started with Playboy at number five by Tory Lanez, Hotels, Jasmine Sullivan. I'm not saying that by Conway because I could never say it right. Sorry the Kid and J. Cole as our round out our one and two. And only differences you had were the
Pink Sweats.
Yep.
Yeah, Pink Sweats and Lil Durk, The Voice.
Lil Durk album. The Voice, right. Yep. Not too bad. Not too bad. Hotels didn't make the list for you. That's surprising.
Just because it was an EP, you know, I wanted to kind of give respect to an album. Yeah, I'm saying yeah.
Khaled wasn't making the list, bro. Come on, bro.
Listen, all right. Relax. He had Justin Bieber with the dreads on. All right, I'm not. We not doing
I'm so
this.
I'm sick
stuff.
Of Justin Bieber, dog.
You see, they bullied him to make him cut it off.
I'm so sick of him, dog.
He pulled up with the fade. Like, all right, bro. I'm sorry,
bro. I still to this day, bro. One of the worst songs on a big album is Big Paper, dog. The Cardi B joint from Cali, dog.
That joint bad. It's like she was scared of the beat. She's rapping like they had the beat too loud on her headphones.
Oh shit. I'm fucking dead, bro.
Like, everybody really gonna turn down the headphones like, and nobody turned it down.
It's so bad, bro. Like, it is really, really, really bad. Bro. I didn't. Oh, bro. Oh, I wish they would have never dropped that one. They should have let that go. But, yeah. Speaking of another list,
he dropped a video for it.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
My fault. I was saying he dropped the video for damn that every song on there. He definitely did drop that video.
He said, nah.
He's like, all right, we're gonna keep that one.
Yeah. Oh, good choice. But yeah, we got a picture that's been going around, caused a lot of controversy. For me, it's easy. I don't think it's any question, but it's the 2010s Mount Rushmore. Excuse me. And as I kind of look at these lists like that, I think this is the way to do it. I think it has to be done in categories or time lengths. It's really hard to make a Mount Rushmore of all time. You can do it. I think, you know, there's artists that kind of got to be on there. Tupac, Biggie, I think Jay-Z for me. And then you can, you know, argue the last one. But again, as people grow, there's times, you know, someone's going to have to move out and someone's going to have to move in. So it's not really a Mount Rushmore at that point because it's still flexible. This, when you do it from a time length, that time length is done. There's nothing that can be said about it. There's no real, you know, moving it around or shuffling. And so for this one, we got 2010s. And I think everybody know the top three. That's going to be, and again, we're talking about rappers. It's going to be Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick. But that last spot, people were kind of confused about, and I could see where the confusion came from. But then I seen a picture, and then once I seen it, I said, "Yeah, this is easy. This is in stone. There's no more discussion." So I'm gonna ask you first because I think mine is gonna be simple. But who for you would go into that fourth spot on that Mount Rushmore for the 2010s?
So I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna say two, but I'm gonna give you my final one. So yeah. My final one that I will put there is Future.
Okay.
But the person that I struggled with to debate was, would it be him or Nicki Minaj? Mm-hmm. Because yeah, Nicki Minaj has dominated, and she basically carried women's hip hop until Cardi B and Meg came along, and she was the only one. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like Future had a legendary run to where he was everything. He was on every hook. He changed the landscape of music. He put on producers that we hear. He put so much is so many artists today are offspring of Future's run that I can't deny him as one of the person to put on the Mount Rushmore, because although he might not have the most bars, although he may not have, you know, the accolades of it, he, I believe, has the most influence of the other objects, other options. So you had your Kanye, you had your Lil Wayne, you had your Nicki Minaj, you had other artists. But I think Future of the 2010s, because I think he sprouted and elevated within that time. Like, he skyrocketed. Everybody else kind of already were entering in the 2010s with something. Future kind of came to be in 2010 and almost went to number one. You know, he at one time he went to number one to the point where some would argue Drake had to team up with Future, like, to get some of that mojo to be like, hey, bro, I need the street element and I need you. And Future, that was a run and that was a moment in time. And I feel like Future has to be the number four for me.
Yeah, it's like that to me gives me real like Steph vibes, like Steph Curry. And this is why, like, I understand Steph Curry's impact to the game, right? Like, but this to me would be like arguing whether, if we're talking 2010, whether him or like a Kobe should be on the list, because they didn't have their runs in the same time to me, right? Like, Future, while Future was going, I felt like that was towards the end of Nicki Minaj's like historical run to me. And so, because literally, I mean, when would you credit Future's run to? Like, what years? 2016 to 20, it was a burst. It wasn't throughout the whole 2010s to me.
I don't know, man.
It was
2012
a burst,
to I think it died off at 2017. I think he had a 5-year run.
Okay. Fair enough. I think that Nicki Minaj's domination of the women's like rap and just domination of rapping period and pop and just becoming as big as a star as she is, I think that's a bigger accomplishment in hip hop than what Future did, because a lot of people go on streaks, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people go on streaks. There's not a lot of women that just dominate the game like this. There's not a lot of women that can go on tracks with Jay-Z, Kanye, Lil Wayne, Drake, anybody that you can think of and rap bar for bar and hold their own weight against them. It's just not. It's just, it is what it is. There may be some low-key ones that you think of, but you take those low-key ones that you're talking about and then make them one of the biggest stars in the world. And that's Nicki Minaj. She has the lyrics to back it up. She can switch lanes and go pop and people still love her. She's going on world tours. That's not Meek Mill's tours, like Drake told us. Those are Nicki Minaj's tours, bro. She is a bigger star to me than Future because she has so much more appeal and she's a woman. Like, you know what I mean? And she has that going for her as well, that we don't really give them enough credit as is. And she came in and said, y'all don't have to give me credit because I'm going to take that. I'm going to take my respect. I'm going to let y'all know who I am. And, you know, it did end, not really end, but, you know, towards 2020, that was when, you know, obviously there was Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, and that kind of the end of it, of the 2010s may have rubbed some people the wrong way, and it rubbed me the wrong way. It just felt a little bit petty for how big Nicki Minaj was. And she took off her break, and now she's back, and I'm glad to see her back. But it just feels like a bigger moment in history. If I had to choose whose story to tell in 2010, if I was talking to somebody about hip-hop, I don't think that I would tell them Future story before I told them Nicki Minaj's story. And that's, to me, why she has to go up on that mountain.
I can respect it, but I would have to counter with numbers. Like, I feel like every time, this is why I can kind of give Drake the nod over Kendrick. I feel like when Kendrick drops, he can't miss. But Drake drops so much at the highest level, it kind of puts a null and void in that. Drake might not have a classic every time he drops, but his hits after hit after hit after hit after hit after hit speak for themselves, to where it's like, okay, that in itself is so much. Nicki Minaj only has about 4 albums in the 2010s. That's it. Future, bro, got classic mixtapes, got classic albums, got collab albums, got classic feet. He's so much more active. You can take Future of a list of the best Future features and make them into an album, and it will be a classic. Like, yeah. It's, and you think of everybody that he's collabed with, everybody that he kind of like put under his wing to give them the light, and then what they've gone on to become. I just don't see, although I do think Nicki Minaj is the better artist, she's the bigger artist, the more influential artist. And I think when we talk about legacy, by all means, she's one of the best. She might even be, you know, top 10, top 15 of all time, everything she's able to accomplish and what she means for women hip hop. It's no denying that. But when we're talking about the Mount Rushmore of the 2010s, I can't deny the Monster mixtape. I can't deny 56 Nights. I can't deny Beast Mode. I can't deny the Pluto album with hit. I mean, that whole Pluto, Sheesh. That Pluto album was hit after hit. I mean, like, going crazy. I can't deny Dirty Sprite 2. I can't deny Sheesh. What a Time to Be Alive. I can't deny Purple Rain. I can't deny Future getting into a legal battle with Rocco and was like, yo, you owe me 2 albums. And he dropped the back-to-back albums, back-to-back weeks. One had the mask off. Yeah, one had the mask off, which was the craziest song ever. And then he had the R&B album, which was slept on, but I feel like one of his best albums, you know, to date. Can't deny him making the collab albums not only a thing and bringing them to the light with him and Drake, but still doing that to help elevate the up-and-coming artists. So, okay, Young Thug, you the next one? Boom, I'm going to collab with you. Hey, Juice WRLD, you the next one? I'm going to collab with you. Rest in peace. Hey, Uzi, you the next one? I'm going to collab with you. Rest in peace. And in that time, hit after hit after hit keeps coming. It's just hard for me to deny that. I get the legacy, but I feel like if there was more competition for Nicki, I don't think her legacy would be as strong. Because as soon as Cardi and Meg pulled up to the scene, it got a little quiet for Nicki. Future was doing this in the midst of a Drake run, in the midst of a Wayne run, in the midst of all these people coming up, in the midst of a Uzi, in the midst of all that. And he was able to hold his own. So to me, that's why I got to give him the nod. But I can't deny, again, this is why I struggle with it. I can't deny the legacy of Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, neither one of these are bad choices. Like when you initially said it, I thought like there's no way, but neither one of you made a convincing argument. Neither one of these are bad choices. So I'm still sticking to Nicki Minaj for reasons that I've already said. And I'm sure you, and like you said, you already stick to the future. So I want to know what the listeners think, because this is actually good. We might even try to put out a poll on this, because this is solid. I really can't fault either one. Like, you know, this one of the arguments is like, we got to agree to disagree, but I don't want to. Like, it's just like,
I know I'm right, but you're not wrong.
It's just like, so if you listen to this, you know, comment. We might even try to put out a poll on social media. But hit us up at the Who Am I Pod on Instagram, Facebook, whatever you want, and let us know what you think about this segment, because this is a solid argument, man. I really can't, because it didn't hit me till you started going through the album. Because I can't do that with Nicki Minaj. I can't do that. I can't do that with Nicki Minaj. So it does make sense that you would put him up there. So yeah. I ain't mad at you. Oh my God. All right, man. Let's get into these positivity shout outs. Mine's just kind of quick. It's not really a positivity shout out. It's really just, you see people do things that are just like, they look kind of silly, maybe, if you would, or just like impossible to believe. But when you kind of in that situation, like it hit a little different, right? So let me tell you about a story one time where I was walking out to the trash can at the Squadron back in Alaska. So I'm going out to the trash can and I hear something like rumbling in there. Typically, that's like a little bear or something like that. So what I do, I go ahead and kick the dumpster. And of course, a little bear head pop out. So I drop my trash. I start walking back. And I turn around, and in the trash can, in the dumpster, was a baby bear. I turn around, and it's a mama bear behind me. So that's never a good situation to be in front of a baby bear around a mama bear, right? So I'm terrified, right? So I just kind of, you can't run because they're predators. So you got to do something. And so I just like, they say get big. So I just started like doing like the fucking wave, like I'm in a fucking like stadium or something, like, right? And thank God the bear actually went away for a little bit. One of my friends in the car, he came over, honked and shit. Bear ran away. I went back, got to the gate. I was just fine. I say that to say this. Those were black bears. You post to fight those, right? You post to fight there. A 17-year-old girl yeeted a brown bear off of a fucking gate to save her dogs. Like I don't know if anybody, have you seen this video yet?
No.
It's the wildest thing that you'll probably see. Her name is Haley Marinico, I think it is. She's 17-year-old. She couldn't be bigger than 130. She is legitimately a small girl. And she's sitting in California one day, somewhere that you wouldn't expect a brown bear to be anyway. And for those that don't know, brown bears are significantly more aggressive, bigger, stronger than black bears. Black bears are damn near like little dogs, really, if you really look at them. Brown bears are not. Brown bears are the ones you see like on The Revenant, killing fucking Leonardo DiCaprio. Like those are the type of bears that you're thinking about. So that bear was in her backyard, just on top of a fence. He was just standing on like a wall. And she had like four or five dogs in the backyard, and the dogs obviously went crazy. The bear starts smacking the dogs left and right, and these, you know, claws and everything. The dog goes screaming and running away. She comes outside, doesn't flinch at all, and runs full speed, torpedo, both hands into the bear, and yeets this bear off the wall. Like, it's the fucking wildest thing I've ever seen somebody do, especially from a like – like, you don't know what you would do in situations like that. Like, what would you do to save your dog, right? Like, we've seen people with the alligator and the dude jumped in the water and saved his dog. Like, we've seen crazy things for people saving dogs. That might be one of the craziest ones, because I've seen bears. Like, you know what I mean? In real life, like, a lot of people don't. You might go to the zoo and see bear. When you see a wild bear that close to you, shit a little different. Like, it's a little spicier than what you think it might be. So in those type of situations, like, you don't know what you're going to do. And so for adrenaline to kick in for her, in retrospect, that bear is probably 400, 500 pounds. She went up, head up with that thing. Like, you don't really get to see stuff like that. And I just want to put that in perspective, how amazing that is that she went out there to save her dogs and she was not fucking around. Like, she was going back and get her shit in blood. Like, she was going heads up with this fucking. She heard her dog yelp. She walked outside and said, "Hell no." Nah. Boom. Hit that motherfucker like Brian Urlacher, dog. Like, that shit is just, if you haven't seen it yet, it's all over TikTok. Again, her name is Haley Marinico, I think it is. So go ahead and look that up. It's a really wild video. Just really short, but again, this is in California. Again, you'll never know what he's wild nature. You scary, bro. So y'all watch out.
Damn, nature, you scary. Yeah, that's fine. I gotta check that out.
That shit different, bro. That shit different. Wild. Yeah, that shit different, bro.
All right, so I'm my positivity shout out. I actually just changed it while we were doing this episode. I actually want to shout out to Yo Gotti, because he recently signed a partnership with Interscope Records to kind of become a partner with them, because they recognized his ability to find talent. We mentioned it earlier today. He's able to elevate the careers of Black Youngster. He was able to elevate the careers of Moneybagg Yo, elevate the careers of 42 Doug, and so on and so forth. I think he had, like, that guy that made the song Yayo back in the day. Yayo. All I know is, yeah, yeah. Like, he's had the ability to not only make hits himself, but also go out and find talent. And it's dope to see that as a we respect that on a cultural level. But for the business side of his, you know, his ability to eye talent to be recognized from the music industry is dope as well. We just talked about that with Meek, and it's like, at this point in the game, you have to elevate and you have to put people on. Yo Gotti's been doing that since the beginning, and to see him transition from being, you know, the quote unquote street dude to be a boss and how he moves to now be officially recognized as one of the best bosses, because this doesn't happen with everybody. You know, there, you know, you got the Rick Rosses out there, you got the Master P's, you got the Birdmans, you got the entrepreneurs, but those are kind of in a different class, and we really respect, we put a different type of respect on their name. And I feel like with Gotti, he's always been kind of like a quiet hustler, kind of like a below the radar, but we respect him when we see him. I feel like this is a move that we should highlight. This is a move that solidifies him as, like, one of the greats in the game. So shout out to Yo Gotti for officially being recognized and partner up with Interscope Records, and not only making his CMG brand official, but making all of his artists and everybody under him, giving them a new and a better platform to shine on.
I like that, man. I like that. Like I said, I am a big Yo Gotti fan, so shout out to that. Yeah, I think that's about all we got, man. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've been on, so we appreciate y'all patience. Just have been out here in Korea living, so yeah, we appreciate y'all, everybody that tunes in every week. Ken, you got anything?
Yeah, man. Shout out to Soulja Boy. We thank you for starting the original podcast, because giving us an opportunity to shine and giving us a platform to express ourselves. You know, we wouldn't be here without you. So thank you, Soulja Boy.
We appreciate you, Soulja. Big Soulja.
Big Draco. Big Draco.
Goofy, dog. Just a goofy dude. Man, bro. Yeah. All right, man. Y'all, thank y'all for tuning in. This is Who My Pop.